Now this morning I would like to speak to you from some portions of Scripture that are very precious. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. This is the great day that we think of the resurrection of Jesus, the great power in that resurrection. What it means to each of us personally. And here, Paul places in the epistle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, some tremendous thoughts. In the 12th verse, he says this, "Now if Christ be preached, that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" In other words, Christ's resurrection by itself would mean nothing to mankind. The reason he is risen is that we might know that the sacrifice of the cross was accepted of God, the sacrifice for our sins. And then secondly, that we might know that even as Christ arose, we also shall arise. So that if Christ were risen and it was preached that there was no resurrection of the dead, there would be no value, no sense to this at all, you'd say. So Paul is confronting them with a problem that the church has faced today. "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead?" What, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." In other words, he's tying the two together, you see. One without the other is impossible. One without the other has no value. He's letting us know that the one brought forth the other. Christ first, we that are Christ after. "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." This would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it, for us to think? Imagine those of you who have loved ones who you believe have died in Christ and you didn't know that they were absent from the body and present with the Lord. What a terrible thought. "If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins." In other words, this was the proof that God accepted it. This was the proof that he was the Son of God. Paul says in another place he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, not by what he said. If all that Christ had said had not been followed by the resurrection, we would have no base to stand upon. If Christ is not risen from the dead, your faith is vain and you are yet in your sins. So that Christ risen is the whole proof to us that God has accepted his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for our sins. This is that which brings joy to our hearts. Christ is risen from the dead. And we can be sure that that sacrifice on the cross was sufficient for our sins. But now, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now in that 19th verse, he says, we're all men most miserable if in this life only we have hope in Christ. The world is a mess. All you got to do is read your newspapers. All you have to do is watch your television set. All you really have to do is to look into your own heart. The world is in bad condition. If in this life only you had hope in Christ, you're miserable. There has to be something beyond this. Because certainly all of us have either experienced already or will experience trials and burdens that we all must bear. Problems in family life. problems of illness, the facing of death, the 50-50 chance that one or the other will die first, husbands and wives. The odds are high that you're going to be sorrowing. And unless we had Jesus Christ, there would be nothing, you see. So all of us face this. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we would be most miserable. You've had your tears. You've had your sorrows. You've had your burdens. Why, listen, if all our hearts could be opened right now and each one was to relate the honest burdens, the problems, the sins of life that they themselves had been involved in, it would take us weeks to listen to the trials, the burdens, the sorrows, the sins. We just couldn't take it. So if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all people most miserable. We have to have this glorious joy of knowing that Christ is risen from the dead, and this is the proof that we're going to rise. Now, this is the great joy of our hearts this morning on this Easter Sunday, that Christ is risen in the flesh. That a spirit, he said, hath not flesh and bones like ye see me have. Touch me and see. Have you touched the Christ? Have you really known the power of his resurrection? Have you really been redeemed this morning in his precious blood? Do you know without a shadow of doubt within your soul this morning that you are really a Christian? That you've really received Jesus? That it's not just a matter of going to church on a Sunday, going to church on Easter? Not a matter of this at all. As blessed and as wonderful it is to be in the house of God, this is not that which saves the soul. The salvation of the soul is dependent upon the personal relationship of the individual, without regard to sectarian names, to the person of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and then in his resurrection power. That's the primary thing, you see. That's the essential thing, that we know what the gospel really is. The gospel is God's good news that you can be saved. And don't get squeamish when I use that word saved. That's a great word. Jesus uses it all the time. I came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We were not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He tasted death for every man that he might bring us unto God. This is the message of Christianity. It's not a matter of people running into a church or thinking that they're going to attain to some religious heights by some oratory from a pulpit. If all I did was just speak without exalting the glories of Jesus and asking you to forget Pastor Guillen and see Jesus and him crucified, I'd be doing absolutely nothing. Paul here is making sure we understand that Christ is risen from the dead. He keeps repeating it over and over again. If Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. If Christ be not risen, your dead are dead. What a horrible thought. And if in this life only you have hope in Christ, you're of all people most miserable. God's good news is that Christ came to save our souls. God's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, does not concern itself with man becoming the progenitor of a perfect world. either now or later. I don't know where such teaching ever was founded, that somehow man, by his efforts, would so change the world that the world would slowly get better and better and better, evolving upward and upward and upward, until we reach the level of perfect peace for all mankind. Now, if anyone believes that, they're not even believing what they see, and they don't believe the histories they've read. Because the history of man, from its beginning up to today and down to the end, shall be one of deterioration. Adam, in the Edenic relationship he had with Eve in the Garden of Eden, was 100% more evolved toward God than we are before the fall. He really knew what it was to live for God. It's been deterioration ever since. Downhill. Now, Jesus says to us, in this world ye shall have, what? Tribulation. Tribulation. Listen to the word of God. Satan, Jesus speaking, Satan is the god of this world. Another verse. The whole world lieth in darkness even unto this hour. The whole world lieth in the lap of the evil one. All that is in the world is at enmity with me. In this world ye shall have tribulation. The world, the flesh, and the devil are against you. Ye are not of this world, Jesus says, for I have called you out of this world. This is the world you face. This is the world that is steeped in sin. This is the world that right at this moment, I believe, is no moment before in history, the world is crying out for Jesus. And when you hear of Jesus people, when you hear of young folks who are on fire for Jesus Christ, and are seeking to win souls for him, let's be very careful that we don't try to ever put a clamp upon the Spirit of God that may be working in our young people, regardless of how they dress, how they look, whether they have some long hair or a beard or anything else, that Jesus works in any soul, and he doesn't care how they look about their face, but he would like them to be clean. Cleanliness is still next to godliness. But oh, let us become conscious that it is not God's purpose. The purpose of the gospel is not concerned with man becoming the progenitor of a perfect world. Now he cannot. And the future Jesus has spoken of time and again. He says, in the last days, men's hearts shall fail them for fear for the things they see coming upon the earth. Well, I don't have to tell you much about that, do you? Do I? I'm sure that you understand this. People still haven't forgotten that there are enough atomic bombs to destroy 10 worlds like we live in. 10 earths can be destroyed by the power of the present bombs of Russia and us. That one cup of germs can destroy the whole earth. And they have them. You tell me men's hearts are not failing them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth? Of course they're fearful. All the things they see. And we're fearful about many other things. We're fearful about the moral degeneracy. We're fearful about the drug problem. We're fearful, beloved, about so many things in this day we're living in. And Jesus says in the last days, men's hearts should fail them for fear for the things they see coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Beloved, we only have to look around us to realize that we're in a world that is fast deteriorating, whether it's economics, whether it's morals, whether it's anything, there's a deterioration, a going downward. And the scripture is clear that in the last days, it will be the worst time in the history of mankind before Jesus breaks through the clouds of heaven and comes and establishes his own kingdom, because he's risen from the dead and he's alive forevermore, and he's coming again. He's coming again to establish a kingdom in righteousness. That which man cannot do, Jesus will do. Oh, that I could just get that into your hearts, to have the joy in your being of knowing that one day it's coming. The world is saying cataclysmic events are coming which will crush us. The Christian is saying cataclysmic events are coming which shall redeem us. That's the difference. That's the difference in the born-again Christian and the world. Your hope is not here. Your hope is there. Your hope is not in a dying world. Your hope is in a living Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the power, the wherewithal, without any help from anybody, to establish his kingdom in righteousness upon this very earth that you and I are living upon now. Listen, mother and father, son and daughter, and sometimes I think today I have to talk more to fathers and mothers than I do to sons and daughters when I see some of the fire that they have in their hearts, the young people, to win souls for Jesus Christ. When I saw that group from Syracuse University come down here, on fire for Jesus, solid, strong. There's another group coming down, they tell me, from Cornell University. They may want us to take students from Cornell coming down to go out to the college campuses again and proclaim the gospel. When did you ever hear of that? Tell me, what age did you ever hear of that? Young collegians on fire for Jesus. And yet, beloved, it's happening. It can happen in high schools. I'm praying that our own students here will have the fire of the Holy Spirit of God descend upon them. They'll be deep and holy in prayer, realizing it's the last days, and God's looking for young people who have the physical energy and the power and the spirit to do a great job for God. I have great hopes for young people. At least the young people I know, I'm just thrilled with what I see in their hearts. I praise God for it. No, beloved, there's nothing that indicates that in the scripture man is going to bring about a millennial kingdom. You may hear it from some pulpit, some places, but they have never studied the word of God. There's no indication of that. Jesus says, unless the last days be shortened, little flesh shall live on the face of the earth. Jesus says that the cataclysm that shall fall upon the earth won't come until the church, his bride, has been caught up to be with him. And then the wrath of God will come. And he says, I have not suffered you to see the wrath of God. We'll be delivered from it. 1 Thessalonians. So, beloved, there is to be in our heart that great and celestial joy of knowing that while the world is crumbling around us, we can, in our little family circles, mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, find joy in Jesus, joy together, knowing where we're going and being solid in our faith, not wavering one iota. There's no place to waver concerning the blood of Christ and its cleansing power from sin. There's no place to waver concerning the resurrection. If you waver in either of these, you're lost. You may have your times of doubtings of all other periphery issues. You may listen to men discuss and dispute certain areas of Scripture, but Paul makes sure we understand, I would know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, because he knows that unless he impresses that into the heart of the individual, they can't be saved. I want you to be saved. I want you to come to Jesus. And then he's risen from the dead. That's your guarantee that God's accepted the cross of Christ. If there's nothing else I would imprint upon your hearts this morning, it's that I am not a preacher who is going to preach some soft little message that will soothe your hearts into hell. I refuse. I refuse to be bound by any preacher or any group of preachers anywhere who do not proclaim the gospel. By and large, 90% of the preachers are not preaching it. And 98% coming out of seminaries today, according to the Red Book magazine, do not believe in the divinity of Jesus nor in the resurrection bodily from the dead. Now that's what you're facing in this world. But I want to tell you, you have a Christ who is the Savior, who's risen from the dead. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. 21st verse. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he, not us, shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even to the Father, whom he shall have put, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Thanks be unto God. Man, I tell you, we got something to believe in, Christian. We have a living Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Have you experienced this in your heart this morning? Do you really love him deeply within your breast? Are you really redeemed in the blood of Christ this morning? You have that new life welling up within you. You know the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your breast. You know that the Holy Spirit is the seal, God says, of his inheritance. You have had that experience with Jesus. It's been personal. It's not because your wife goes to church, your husband goes to church, and young folks, the sons and daughters, it has nothing to do with mom and dad, except if mom and dad brought you up to love Jesus, you should praise God for it. But each one, it's individual. God deals with us individually. A husband, a wife, a son, a daughter. We all need forgiveness for sins. And even after we're saved, we still are not going to be sinless perfection. We're still going to need the blood of Jesus Christ to keep cleansing us from all sin. He's coming again, beloved. He's coming again. And when he comes, he will establish, according to Revelation and the Old Testament prophecies, his kingdom. And then it says, in the earth will dwell righteousness, but not until then. But isn't it wonderful? While the world may crumble and be falling all apart, isn't it wonderful, Christian, to say when the world falls apart, that will be the time, just before the great wrath of God, that Jesus will take me, my dear wife or husband who loves Jesus, and the children we love to be with him. Now this makes life worth living, death worth dying, and the coming of Christ everything to you and to me. Do you have him in your heart this morning? Do you love him with all your breast? Do you say, Lord, I really love you? When was the last time you said to Jesus Christ, I love you, Lord, for what you've done for me and for my family? I've had my trials, I've had my burdens, I've had my tears, I've had my sorrows, I've had it all, Lord, but in it all I've had you. And you've made the difference between night and day to me, because even though I have all my burdens, and even though I have sickness unto death, I know that nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans the 8th chapter.
And I rejoice in tribulation, knowing that it works patience in me and that Christ is coming soon. Oh, I hope you have that on this Easter Sunday. Let us pray. Father, we do thank Thee for Thy precious word this morning. Pray Thy blessing, Lord, upon this people. Lord, I am very mindful of the responsibility that You place upon Your under-shepherd. Father, my heart goes out this morning in love, but only in the love of Christ to each one here. Lord, I pray this morning that no one will leave this place without Jesus in their hearts as their personal Savior. Father, I ask You that every heart may be wide open to Christ, remembering that He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, and my Father will sup with him also." Lord, it could be that there are some this morning who really want Christ in their hearts, just simple, "Pastor, pray for me. No one looking around. This is just between you and God, eyes closed. I'm not going to call you forward, but you'd like to say, 'Pastor, pray for me. Here's my hand. I really want Jesus. Just put it up high. Let me see it.' Yes, praise God. Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Yes, I see your hand down here. Mother, Father down here. Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? Quickly, just put your hand up. Say, 'Pastor again, just pray for me.' Yes, I see your hand back there. Lord, bless you, Mother. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Lord, bless you. Anyone else to join all these who just raise their hands? Say, 'Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I really want Jesus deeply in my heart, just as you spoke this morning. Forgiveness of all my sin. All my sin.' Anyone? Just put it up. 'Pastor, pray for me.' Just before I close, anywhere in the balcony, down here, put it up so I can see it. If you're saying I should put it up, well, put it up. Don't wait. This is Easter Sunday. You'll never forget Easter Sunday. It'll be the day you said yes to the Lord Jesus. Quickly, just as I close, anyone, anywhere at all, to join all these who raise their hands for Jesus this morning, mothers and fathers, young folk. Now, Father, we thank Thee for all these that have raised their hands for Christ this morning. We pray that You'd wonderfully bless them, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts. They aren't here by accident this morning. They're here because the Word of God was preached and the Holy Spirit dealt with their hearts. May they never forget that. This is Easter Sunday, the day when they said to the Lord Jesus, "I really believe on You as my Lord and as my Savior. I believe that You have redeemed me from all sin, and I belong to You. And I'm now in the family of God. I'm a child of God." Father, put Your hand upon all of our hearts this morning. May we all rejoice together that souls once more have found Christ as personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.